The Heat Doctor on Kerry Today. Brought to you in association with Boyles of Killorglan, the home of quality.
Yeah, David O'Sullivan, DC Energy Solutions, the Heat Doctor with us on the line. And David, good morning to you and thanks for joining us. Get your questions and queries in. There's a lot in already, David, so we'll jump straight into them. A listener says,
away,
hi, Jerry, a question for the Heat Doctor. I have a black Stanley solid fuel range with an Errigal boiler, and when I put the fire down, the pipes coming from it starts a banging and clicking sound for maybe 5 to 10 minutes. What would be causing this to happen?
It can be a common situation with back boilers, Jerry, for something like this to happen, but I guess it's not something that should be happening also. The fact it's only happening for 5 to 10 minutes suggests that there could be maybe air or a pocket of air trapped in pipework, or it could be a situation with the thermostat that controls the pump for the back boiler not coming on set too high of a temperature before it comes on. But look, this is something I suppose that when it comes to solid fuel, Jerry, we don't necessarily have control over the temperature output. So we have to be really cautious and really careful about making sure that all the mechanical components and electrical components work properly with that stove. So I know the chimney gets cleaned, the stove gets cleaned, everything gets checked that way. But I suppose I would also suggest to listeners and to this listener maybe to make sure that their pump is operating to 100% and that the thermostat is bringing on the pump at the correct time to dissipate the heat throughout the house. Obviously, also with a back boiler, Jerry, you have most likely a hot water priority. So it heats the hot water in the tank first and then goes to the radiators afterwards. So again, you know, a lot of moving parts. This banging noise could be something simple, could be air, could be a pipe that could be loose in a clip, could be something very simple like that. But I would definitely suggest getting the mechanical components and electrical components checked in that system as part of the service work to make sure it's operating safely and correctly.
Okay, very important. We have another query in here from last month. I have a Black Stanley 8 range, and when I put a fire down, this is a similar one. Another listener says, is it dangerous to put too much insulation over electric wires in the attic?
So the direct answer to that is yes. And there is regulations in place, Jerry, in regards to attic insulation that's carried out. Us as SEAI registered contractors are governed and guided by these guidelines and regulations. But I guess that the easiest rule of thumb to say to anyone if they were taking on a project themselves and insulating an attic themselves, for example, would be any cable that's supplying a electric shower, mains cable coming from a meter box outside. I suppose anything bigger than electric shower cable should be kept above the insulation. If the cable doesn't have enough slack in it, which most of them don't, in order to put it above the insulation, and the insulation is to be kept clear around that cable. The reason for this is heat transfer from the cable, Jerry. Obviously, when we have heavier loads, like the electric shower, make an example of, then the cable itself can generate some temperature because of the size of the shower and the load of the shower. And indeed, sometimes the time spent within the electric shower, which we all give out about. But I suppose, look, it's vitally important rule of thumb, anything bigger than a shower cable, should be kept above the insulation, or the insulation kept clear. Also, I might add in there, Jerry, as well, is recessed lighting within houses, and we come across this quite often. Recessed lighting, there is specific covers, heat covers that can go over recessed lighting, but again, here, like the cables, insulation should be kept clear of recessed lights unless you have a manufacturer's data sheet from for the recessed light, which states it can be covered. And some of the new LED ones can, but I suppose rule of thumb here again is recessed lights, keep the insulation clear, or make sure you use the proper covers to put over the recessed lights before you insulate.
Very important as well. Another query coming into us here from a listener says, with regards to the grant schemes that are out there, this person is planning to, if the grant is approved and given prior to the work or at the end stage of the work, caller is hoping to inherit a derelict house and land, so he intends to renovate the house to become his main residence, but does not know if he'll be approved and given the grant before or during the renovation, or does he have to wait till the end to know if he'll be accepted for the grant amount to be given? Like, will he have to take a punt on it and hope that things work out?
There's a long-winded answer to this. I'll try and keep it as simple as I possibly can, but having gone through something recently myself personally with regards to vacant home grants and energy grants, I can definitely help this homeowner this person in regards to if they inherit this house and land. But I suppose just don't do anything until you've got everything approved. That's just the golden rule. Start doing your research now, start doing your applications once you're in a place that you can do it. But Kerry County Council have and provide the vacant home or derelict home grant It's a process that you go through. There's an application document in there. It's very explanatory, very detailed. I can only speak highly of the people in the vacant home grant section of Kerry County Council, that they're available to answer questions by phone. Their information that they're giving you is precise, concise and direct, and it definitely makes the process a little bit more seamless. But the vacant home grant will be the bigger grant amount for this homeowner to consider, or the derelict indeed, sorry. It could be up to 70,000. That was changed in 2022 from 30 to 50 and from 50 to 70. So 70,000, a big chunk of money, but I guess the other part of that answer is that that money is paid out after all the works are completed, after all proof of works are completed and the works are carried out correctly. There may be an engineer's report required, proof of purchase of materials, proof of engagement of subcontractors. Keeping the paperwork here is the only key I could say to anyone doing this process. If you think you should keep it, keep it. Put it on file, put it on file. The more information you can give, the more clearer it is for someone that's on the other side to see that the work is carried out properly. So combining the vacant home grant with something like a one-stop shop grant, or indeed the single measure grants from the SEI, there's a further between 15 and 25,000 euros in grants that are a possibility for that homeowner, depending on work what work they carried out. Now, through the one-stop shops, Jerry, the grant amount that you're sanctioned for, you don't have to pay, but you have to run the job through a one-stop shop. We work hand-in-hand with Electric Ireland Superhomes, and the process is quite simple. The job is priced accordingly. The money goes through Electric Ireland Superhomes, and whatever the grant amount is, they fund that grant amount and claim the grant direct from the SEI. So two answers, I suppose, for that homeowner. One, definitely avail of the grants, and the grants are applicable to the house. There's some criteria that you have to meet. Go onto the Kerry County Council website, get onto the SEI website, engage with a one-stop shop, and then from there the derelict home grant is paid post works completed, and the one-stop shop grants are funded by the one-stop shop or the SEI. Lastly, I suppose, Jerry, the single measure grants on that one, not to complicate things, but the single measure grants the homeowner claims as well, they'll be claimed after the works are carried out.
Yeah, okay, all right, we're going to talk more about this. We'll have more queries to get to with David. We'll get to those after we take these.
The Heat Doctor on Kerry Today, brought to you in association with Boyles of Killorglan, the home of quality.
Now, David, a few more queries to get to. Listener says, hi, David, my open fire, the back of it seems to have an opening at the back that I'm thinking was worn away from the fire. Is this okay, or would it have to be fixed? And if so, how would you go about doing that?
So if there's an opening at the back of the fire surround, is that correct, Jerry? I think that's what I'm determining from that.
Yeah,
I think
that would
be something that's definitely not a safe way to have a fire, an open fire. There's a fire back within all open fires, which I suppose is there for a reason. It diverts smoke and heat and stops heat transfer onto the blocks. There's a purpose to it. I'm not going to get into the technical side of that, Jerry, but what I would say is if there's a crack and or a hole in the fire surround or the fire back, then it's definitely something that needs to be replaced. Now, it can be replaced. Obviously, use a professional and someone that knows what they're dealing with here. The fire surround could be replaced. But I guess it's typical of me, Jerry. I always kind of suggest, well, you know, if it's an open fire and you're thinking of having to fix something or update something, possibly maybe upgrade to a timber-burning stove or maybe a consideration for the whole house. But look, that's in here. That's up to the homeowner and what they can afford to spend. But I definitely think from a health and safety point of view, if there's a crack and or an opening or a break within the fire surround at the back of the open fire, please stop using it until you get it sorted.
Okay. Is it safe to have oil central heating on the same time as the solid fuel stove heating?
So essentially, no, it's not something, I suppose, that the two should be on together. But there is a way mechanically and electrically that you can do that without having to have too much concern about it. And I suppose it comes down to heating controls, Jerry. I think we said that at the start for the first query, which was with a back boiler, you can't necessarily control the temperature that's coming from the heat source. So when that stove reaches a high temperature and starts dissipating heat throughout the house, well, then you don't want the oil boiler trying to do the same thing, because it shouldn't happen. There's ways mechanically of doing it, there's ways electrically of doing it, but I suppose if it's not already done within the house, it's something that should be considered to be done along with installing some heating controls to make sure that, you know, the house works efficiently or the heating system works efficiently. But it is quite a difficult one that you don't want to be, I suppose, the typical old style of a jury of going to a hot press and turning on a switch, turning off a switch and forgetting to turn off a switch and forgetting to turn on a switch. It should be something that should happen quite easily without that happening, I suppose.
Yeah, brilliant stuff. David, listen, we're out of time. It's only time for me to tell you happy birthday today. You've been wished happy birthday from your wife and children, believe it or not.
Well, I nearly got away with it, Jerry, but a huge thank you, I suppose, indeed to yourself and Trasa. Nearly. Yourself, Trasa, and even all the team there at Radio Kerry. Thanks for everything throughout the year. Boyle's Hardware in Clarendon. You know, I think all the listeners, all our customers, staff and suppliers, you know, without everyone, we can't keep doing what we're doing. And hopefully we're doing a good enough job. And I suppose, lastly, a shout out to the Cremon senior ladies there in the final in 2 weeks' time, and to Chris's gym in Glenbay for doing what he does.
Brilliant stuff. Thanks, David. Appreciate it. Happy Christmas and Happy New Year. That's David Sullivan, the Heat Doctor. He'll be back with us in the new year. If you have a view on what he had to say, get in touch. Send the questions in. We'll pass them on to him for next time. We're out of time in the programme. Thanks for listening. Thanks for all your views. We'll get to lots of Conhoolan comments on Monday. And Monday, we're in the square in Tralee for a big Christmas 8th of December special with retailers from there. We're bringing back the 8th of December traditional Christmas shopping day. That'll be Monday in Tralee. Have a great weekend. Stay safe out there in the weather. Take it easy and stay tuned for Francis and the 11 to 1 Club.